Fred Film Radio.
International Film Festivals and Awards Macau.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 International Film Festival Macau. And I'm joined by filmmaker Vasan Bala. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And you're here presenting your film, The Man Who Feels No Pain. Would you like to maybe say a few words to introduce it before we start talking about it in more detail?
So A Man Who Feels No Pain is literally about this guy who can't feel pain. He's suffering from a very rare condition, but it's definitely not a documentary on suffering and, you know, on the condition. But it's basically a celebration of martial arts films that I've been watching since childhood. All the Hong Kong films, all the Golden Harvest films, Jackie Chan, Sammo Hung, Bruce Lee, Stephen Chow. So it's all like mashed up together and, you know, just put in a big ball of action.
You were a fan of these movies?
Oh yeah, I was obsessed about, obsessed with them, like continuously renting VHS tapes and watching them over and over and over again.
That kind of inspires me to ask you this question. If anyone wanted to really get into this type of films, what is for you the ultimate beginner's martial arts movie?
Okay, so the ultimate beginner's is obviously Bruce Lee. I think because he's the simplest in that sense. And by simple, I don't mean easy. By simple, I mean genius. I think Bruce Lee was not just a great martial artist, but he was probably the greatest martial arts filmmaker. I think he knew editing, where to put the camera, how to kind of show action. So I think that would be like a great beginning, a slightly intense one. Obviously, after that, you can watch Jackie Chan. And after having watched Jackie Chan, it'd be nice to go back to the 1930s and watch Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin. And then you suddenly realize, oh, these guys were the first martial artists who actually made action comedy. And then, you know, the tradition of action comedy starts from them.
Right.
In fact, even today, we can't really beat the stunts that Buster Keaton has done. You know, the kind of vision he had for stunts, the kind of vision he had for set pieces, which eventually led to these awesome stunts. So I mean, you know, the tradition starts so early, and then which has bled into Jackie Chan kind of trying to do every Buster Keaton stunt that ever was all over again in his own style. And then obviously today there is Donnie Yen, there is Tony Jaa, there is so many other people out there. But there's something to Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan and Buster Keaton that they were so magical, because probably I maybe discovered them as a kid. So I think I encourage everyone to probably discover them, and then, you know, then obviously get into other things.
Yeah, I can definitely sense your passion, especially because you actually traced the origins of all these movies. But I'm a big fan of Buster Keaton, and in a way, now the tradition continues with your film, because I feel like in your film we get some sort of an update in the sense that the setting here is very different.
Right. Yeah. So basically, the update is where I grew up in my childhood. And all these characters, I have known them in real life. It's just an exaggerated version or an exaggerated avatar of all of them, right? So my grandfather, obviously, was an interesting guy. Then, obviously, we all never got into this kind of trouble. But yeah, I mean, it was just taking all these characters, taking all these real people that I had seen around, and then putting them into a situation like this and see, you know, how it goes.
So what was the place where you grew up? What's the name of the place?
Yeah, so this place is called Matunga, and it's like a really small educational patch in Mumbai, in central Mumbai. There's a lot of universities, a lot of greenery, also people who have been settled there for more than 60 to 80 years. So everyone knows everyone, so it's almost like a village, and there is an innocence to that. It's not like you're living in like Mumbai and, you know, the big bad city. It's almost like you're living in a small quaint village where everyone knows everyone. So that innocence kind of comes from there.
Right.
From my memory of the place, yeah.
So there's the influence of the films that you watched and that you love, but there's also an influence from your own personal life. Right. It's an interesting blend, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, interestingly, chain snatching was a huge thing when I was growing up. Because in middle class India, a lot of women, they didn't have a lot of money, but they all were very obsessed in buying gold. And they'll always buy these gold chains, and there'll always be chain snatchers around, you know, in riding bikes and snatching chains.
Yeah.
So that was like a menace that kind of stayed in my head. I don't know why. It looks very frivolous, for maybe cinematically, but for me, it kind of was an important menace to handle. So maybe that's how that kind of got into the film as well.
Yeah. But I always thought that, you know, cinema was great at showing things small, the small things, like the details. I mean, I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the intimacy is what probably, you know, makes it bigger. I mean, even if you take all the effects away from Star Wars or all the gizmos away from Star Wars, I think it's the heart, right?
Yeah.
Of the boy, of Lucas, of Leia, and of Han Solo and Chewbacca, and the intimacy. Obviously, George Lucas just put them in this intergalactic arena,
right,
and made it bigger. But otherwise, it's still the intimacy that works. There are so many people who have made bigger films, but they don't really affect you.
Right. Well, I wanted to get back to the condition that the protagonist has. You said yourself, by your own admission, that it's not a medical film, so you're not really, that's not really what interests you. But in a way, so is it a metaphor?
It is, because I think increasingly there is so much debate around gender equality and, you know, like generations which have grown up in a very patriarchal kind of a surrounding, and wherein we have been thrust upon this whole mythical responsibility of us being strong and, you know, powerful and not feeling pain was one of those things. And I remember in the 80s Bollywood, a lot of heroes would kind of be known for their macho image and for, you know, just handling whatever amount of pain that comes their way. So it was a tongue-in-cheek way of saying, kind of putting that, because, you know, pain is so essential. If you didn't have pain, you'd probably die. So obviously it was also not a very documentary existential cinema kind of a way of exploring it, but just a very tongue-in-cheek way of inserting that thing too. And also action films, especially in the 80s, it relied upon huge macho muscular heroes like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Stallone. And Stallone still had a lot of heart in his films, but Arnold was like this, you know, like the Terminator, who kind of killed and crushed everything that came his way.
Or the Kindergarten Cop.
Exactly.
But anyways, it's just an aside joke. But in your film, you actually have a heroine.
Yeah. So that was a character that I was super excited about writing. And I think she is still the most wholesome character of the film. She's not just the female of a Nike ad who is staring at you and, you know, looking all powerful. But she does a kick-ass stuff. She is vulnerable. She loves her mother. She lets her become vulnerable. And I think that's how people are. You know, we are not all intense and stuck up all the time and, you know, ready to beat the shit out of people.
Right.
But, you know, we have our softer moments. We have our lighter moments. We have moments where we feel powerful. We have moments where we feel helpless. And I think Supri kind of has all that, you know, and which is what makes her really special.
I also really appreciated the music. But I think that also the music itself, stylistically, is associated with a sort of a cinema.
Right.
So it contributes to what I think is a cultural blend in this film as a whole.
So a lot of it was also inspired from the 60s, 70s, 80s of music. There was also a music from the 1950s of Bollywood. So it was like an interesting blend, and, you know, also creating a playlist while you're writing a film is the best thing, you know, like a great part of writing as well, because writing itself can become very lonely and frustrating after a while. But going back to that playlist is so exciting, and then when you're editing it, you already have that playlist ready, you already have the rhythm ready. So music is like a huge part of why I think would even want to make films.
These songs are original, or?
So the BGM and the music is all original. There's just one that we've purchased from, and but otherwise it's all original. And collaborating with the music director is like one of the best things, you know. Like once you've done with the edit and you know it's locked, and then just sitting on the BGM, it's a beautiful experience.
Yeah, you know who else kind of like liked to have that approach to music that comes to mind immediately is Sergio Leone, who used to get Ennio Morricone to write the music before he shot the film.
Oh yeah, that's so amazing, right? And it's so epic that collaboration.
Yeah.
And for generations, kind of, it stuck, and you know, it's so signature.
So I just wanted, because we're running out of time, I wanted to, could you say a few words about your actors here?
Oh yeah, so there is Abhimanyu, there is Radhika. So both of them, what I really, really like about them is they work really hard. So beyond being stars or stardom that obviously they will achieve, the willingness to kind of, you know, put everything on stake, I hope that kind of keeps continuing, because that is what I see of them today. of putting everything that they had. I mean, they took on so much pain for this. I mean, obviously, the idea was to make a very light-hearted, funny kind of film. But, you know, behind the scenes, right. there's a lot of sore muscles, a lot of, you know, aching bones, and a lot of sore backs and... You know,
well, let's not forget. Yeah, we talked about style, but also obviously there's the bodies themselves that get
exactly,
beat up. Yeah.
Exactly, and that's what they took on. And Radhika, especially because she kind of had no inclination for action, and she kind of started from scratch for the film. And you know, I think she kind of went from 0 to 100 in like 3 seconds.
Right.
I think she really did that.
Really does. Well, listen, it's a great film, and thank you very much for chatting with us about it. It was
a great
pleasure.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure chatting.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.